This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
And now, live on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app, it's Gabe Ramirez.
Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you guys till 9 o'clock today. Got a couple more hours on the docket. A couple more guests we're going to be talking to. We get to talk to Andy Martinez in just a few minutes. Of course, from the Marquee Network. I'm sure, you know, not happy about today's game, but ultimately happy where the Cubs are at right now. So we'll get a chance to talk to him, pick his brain. Then at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, James Boyd covers the Colts for The Athletic. Get a chance to talk to him, get his perspective on what he thought about the joint practice between the Bears and the Colts. But again, those will be happening. And then I think I'm going to do a little Twitter time, Tyler, for the end, you know, wrap the show up. All right. Well, let's chat a little bit about the Cubs. I mean, tough game today. Tough game for a number of reasons. I mean, Jameson Taillon, he's just been pitching well. And you can always look back and say, was he held in too long? You know, whatever the case might be. But there's other people that feel other ways about the Cubs. And the phone lines are open for you. And before I get to Bill, our first phone caller, I'm curious at the frustration level. I know that Cubs fans are performing better than Cubs fans expected. They are, you know, a handful of games out of first place. But after, you know, splitting with the White Sox, losing the first of three to Kansas City, it seems as though there's still some lingering feelings from the series loss against the Mets, even though the Cubs did well against the Blue Jays afterwards. So I'm curious what the level of frustration is for Cubs fans. You the Cubs fan. Like, are you frustrated? Like, oh my gosh, what the hell are they doing? Or are you content and like still extremely confident in the Cubs and where they stand right now? 312 644 6767. It's Gabe Ramirez taking your calls right now. Let's go to Bill on the Kennedy. So, Bill, where does your frustration lie with this Cubs team right now in the present?
You know, thanks for taking my call, Gabe. Enjoy the show. I'm not super frustrated because I feel like we're, you know, in a good place compared to we were, you know, 6 weeks ago. But I'm worried about the pitching now with Stroman. But today was a frustrating game. I was at the game, and there were a couple things that just didn't make sense to me. You know, Patrick Wisdom is a guy who's been killing us. He's not a good fielder. He booted that ball, and then the next thing you knew, there was a two-run home run, and we were down 4-3. And the other move that was puzzling was when, at the bottom of the eighth, when they decided to pinch hit for Wisdom, which I understand. I don't know why Ross put in Madrigal instead of Tauchman. And, you know, Nick Madrigal is not a hitter, and it just didn't work out. And that we had two runners on, I think, at that point. So that was kind of the game, and it was, a kind of a frustrating loss.
Yeah, Bill, first I want to say, I mean, that's got to suck. You go to a game like that, you just saw him perform well. But you saw him perform well, against the White Sox the day before, and then they come out today. The assumption is that, you know, Friday baseball, you're going to be feeling good. But you bring up some great points. But listen, I really enjoy watching the Cubs play. I want to make that very clear. I am a Sox fan, but I'm a baseball fan at heart. And I genuinely enjoy watching the Cubs play. I think they have really good guys. You know, like their lineup, even today, you know, without without some people that you would like to see in there, you know, it's still an exciting lineup, right? Christopher Morel, obviously with the heroics the other day, you know what he's capable of. He has been slotted into that one hole. But let's talk about the things you mentioned, Bill. First, Patrick Wisdom. I mean, you got to give somebody, you know, you got to give Tauchman a day off, like an actual day off, not a come pinch hit in the ninth inning. Like, you need to be mentally checked out of this game because your body needs an entire, you know, 48 hours of just rest. And so I understand why he plays Patrick Wisdom. Still Patrick Wisdom. Like, you're not putting him in the nine hole to go 3-for-4. You're putting him there to play a solid first base, to give your, you know, to spell your guy, and then in the event something else happens, you can sub him out. I mean, 1-for-3, still got the run in. And then Nick Madrigal, that goes back to my original point, was sometimes you just have to give somebody a complete day off. And Nick Madrigal, let's not forget, he just hit a pinch hit home run against the White Sox. Not that he's going to be able to duplicate that success, but, you know, it's there. But I think, you know, people have been complaining about Ross's lineup, but dude, he's been as consistent as possible over the last couple of weeks. Horner, Hap, Bellinger, you know that, and Swanson, excuse me, you know that is your 2, 3, 4, 5 hitters. Tauchman, when he's playing, is at the 1. So your first 5 are already accounted for. What happens on the back end is just like butter, whether it's Yan Gomes or Amaya. You know Suzuki and Candelario, that they've been playing well, Suzuki since his benching, Candelario since coming over here. So you got them at the tail end. And like, Cubs fans, you can't be greedy. You can't be 1-9. Everybody's just batting 400 in the last 2 months of the season. Some guys are going to crap the bed. But if you're telling me Patrick Wisdom goes 1-for-3 with a run, I'm not necessarily thinking he's ruining everything. But I get it. I get it. I get it. I get where the frustration comes because you just don't want to see it. The problem is you cannot play the same 9 guys for the remainder of the season. You got to swap them in. You look like you got something to say over there, Tyler. What you got over there?
I personally felt like he did, in a way, cost them the game because when it was, I think they scored 1-1 in the first couple innings, yep, and they scored the 2 in the third, I believe. He was the reason why the leading runner scored. He made an error at first base.
Right,
and
right.
Then in the sixth inning, same thing. Bobby Witt Jr. is up to the plate. There's not a man on first if it wasn't for a Wisdom error. So I'm not completely blaming him, but it could have been prevented from him making two. They could have won the game if he didn't make 2 errors.
Yeah, I guess. And this is only because I'm just trying to argue the other side, not because I disagree with what you're saying. It's difficult to bounce around positions. Not everyone is Christopher Morel, where you can put him anywhere and he's just going to have a solid game. Or even Christopher Morel. He's been second base, center field. He'll count for an error or two. Why? Because it's hard to play multiple positions.
And I could see why Ross went with a righty bat heavy lineup when they were facing a young lefty pitcher today.
Young lefty pitcher. I mean, again, there are things you can point to. 10 hits on the day should equate to more runs. Nico Horner going 3-for-4, you know, at the two spot should equate to, he had zero runs because of that. Or 10 men left on base for the Cubs, right? Like Patrick Wisdom, like I get it. You want to talk about something, but, you know, 10 hits, 10 left on base, you know, runners left in scoring position with two outs. You know what three guys that happened to? Madrigal, Swanson, and Bellinger. So none of those guys are named Patrick Wisdom for bringing in runs. You know what I'm saying? Jameson Taillon did his job, six innings pitched, gave up the two runs, obviously the one, you know, walk or whatever. But, you know, three strike, he did his job. Michael Fulmer did his job. Smiley, awesome. Pitched in the ninth, did well. Sometimes you just run into a team that you know. Cole Reagans with 9 strikeouts was just dealing today.
Every time they had an opportunity, he shut the door.
Sometimes it happens like that in baseball. But are the Kansas City Royals going to come back again and have a pitcher that has 9 strikeouts and only gives up 2 or 3 runs? No. It's just that, or else they'd be a good team, and they're not. So, you know, let's take some more calls. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Patrick. Now, I hope it's not Wisdom, but from Wrigleyville. But you're a Sox fan, Patrick, and you're thinking of these Cubs fans. What are you thinking about?
Well, I'm a Sox fan, but I was walking back. I live near Wrigley, and there's this gentleman. He's probably 80 years old, and he was coming back from the game. He was wearing a Santo jersey, and he was bummed. And I just kind of put my arm around him and said, hey, it's okay. It's okay.
Okay.
You know, sometimes we love a team so much and you're that old. Come on, man.
Thanks for the call, Patrick. I appreciate it. I mean, it happens. Some people are in love with their team through and through. Let's go to Gabe in Wisconsin. So, Gabe, you have some frustrations still stemming from today's game. What are they?
Well, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for the call, Gabe. Love your name.
I'm sorry about today's loss, and I know we're a better team than they are, and I think this is going to get better the next two games, and I've got a feeling we can start a winning streak. You feel the same way, too?
Thanks for the call, Gabe. Do I think that the Cubs can have a winning streak? Absolutely. If you look at their, and this is, again, coming from a Sox fan, but if you look at the beginning of the month, as an analyst, I was simply saying that the last thing you want before you go through a gauntlet is 8 games versus the Cardinals, the White Sox, and the Cardinals. Because then you might have a false sense of hope. And that's what I thought was materializing for the Cubs leading into the beginning of August. Why? 4 against Cincinnati, 3 against Atlanta, 3 against the Mets, 3 against Toronto. That's not easy. But the Cubs handled that. So for me, I was just talking yesterday to Tim Stebbins from MLB.com about the second half of August, 3 against Kansas City, 3 against Detroit, 4 against Pittsburgh. And then you finish off the month with 3 against Milwaukee. Milwaukee, on the other hand, they're facing like the Dodgers. They're facing tough teams, the Rangers. They have a tough end to August. And so my assumption is by the end of the month, the Cubs can be even more within striking distance than they are right now. They should be either tied, a game up or a game down. That's where they should be by the end of the month, just based off of the opponents. Because if you don't gain ground with that schedule, when Milwaukee has their schedule, then you need to be sweating profusely at that. All right, we're going to take a break. We got Andy Martinez from the Marquee Network. He's going to talk to us a little bit about the Chicago Cubs. Where does he think the Cubs will be by the end of the month when they begin that 3-game set versus the Milwaukee Brewers? In first place? He'll let us know after this. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
The stretch for the 0-2. A pitch to Bellinger. Check swing. Did he go? Yes, he did. And the ball game is over. Roberto Ortiz made the call at third. Bellinger ruled to have swung on strike three. And the Royals start to celebrate on the mound here at Wrigley Field. So Kansas City wins game one of this three-game series by a score of 4-3.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Is this your sad music, Tyler? Oh, my God. I keep thinking,
could have made it as a blind man.
That's not the song, though, right?
This is how
Johnny Cash hurt.
I like my remix better. If I was a DJ, this is what I'd be playing to get people in their feels. But someone's going to take us out of our feels right now and into a happy place, because that's what this guy does. Not only does he look like Javier Assad's cousin, his primo, but he's also amazing at his job. He's joining us right now on the Circuit Resort Casino Hotline, Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. He's an awesome writer for Marquee, does a ton of Cubs stuff over there, but he's also a good friend of the station, Andy Martinez. Andy, what's going on, brother?
I appreciate the Javier Assad comp. That's some pretty good.
Am I the only one that said that?
You're the first one, so
really?
I'll take it.
Dude, I see Javier Assad on the bump with his glasses, and I'm like, Papa. I mean, he's a little more, he's a little heavier set, you know what I'm saying? But when I see Javier Assad, I think this guy's badass like Andy Martinez.
Hey, if I could throw a ball like a quarter of the velocity he could, I think I'd be happy.
Of course. You and I had the opportunity to see each other in person for the very first time at a Cubs game a couple of weeks ago. That was cool. You know, rarely do I get to, unless you know people that are walking in these halls, rarely do I get to actually you know, chill and dap up my people. So it was great to see you, man. I just wanted to say that. It was great to see you at Wrigley.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. So like it was for me.
Yeah. So let's talk about this Cubs game, of course. Let's talk about the state of the Cubs first. I think, you know, there is a level of frustration that is permeating through the air in Chicago right now because of these Cubs fans. And obviously you split with the White Sox. You lose your first to Kansas City. And you know how it is during the baseball season, Andy. The assumption is that, you know, you can just win every single game once you're hot or once you've come to the conclusion that you're good or you're supposed to make the playoffs. But that couldn't be further from the truth in a major league season, could it?
No, yeah, it couldn't really. And it's such an interesting comp because everyone, Cubs fans, myself, other media members have kind of looked at the stretch where you go White Sox, Royals, Tigers, Pirates, like you think this is where the Cubs really make up ground and either take control of the Central or stay really in the thick of it with Milwaukee. But David Ross brought up an interesting point earlier pregame, which I kind of felt like kind of dumb for overthinking it. Last year, the Cubs had a really, really good second half, right? And they were, if you played just the second half, they were a 90 win pace team. Was that second half team really a 90 win team? Probably not, but that's the pace they were playing at. And some of the teams they were beating, right? They swept the season series against the Phillies. They beat the Mets 2 out of 3 in New York last year. And again, this was a team that sold off at the trade deadline. And David Ross brought up that point, like Kansas City was in the same boat, but they're in the same boat that the Cubs were last year. They've got a lot of young, scrappy guys that are trying to prove they belong, right? So it's very cliche, but you can't take any of these games for granted. And I don't think the Cubs are. I think it's just these teams, they know that they can kind of play spoiler. They know that they can kind of put a damper in another team's season. And they also just, they're also just trying to prove themselves, right? You've got some young guys in Kansas City that are playing for contracts, are playing for their baseball career. Like, of course they're going to be trying to try and beat this team that's trying to go to the playoffs. So you're not just because their record says something doesn't necessarily mean that you should be beating them 15-0 every night.
That's what everyone thinks. It's like, oh, we're facing the Royals, 3 straight victories. It's gonna be easy.
It's not like college football or college basketball, right? Where like you get that opening week game in college football where Alabama rolls like 60-0. Like there's none of those matchups in Major League Baseball.
Yeah. But you still look at the game and you still try to think, you know, where it went wrong or where could the game have been won? Andy, when you look back at this game and you think to moments, what are those for you in this game in particular?
Yeah, for me, it's immediately the defense and some of the plays at first base, specifically with Patrick Wisdom, the grounder that preceded the home run by Bobby Witt Jr. that ultimately ended up being the difference in the game. I mean, if you make that play, that's an out, right? And even if Bobby Witt Jr. hits that home run, it's a tie ball game. Who knows what happens, right? Like that's the difference. And to me, it was a little alarming just because the Cubs team from the get-go has always been predicated on pitching and defense. So when you lose a game that kind of came down to defense, it's a little alarming, but it's also, like we talked about, it's one of those things that over the course of a 162-game season, like that stuff's going to happen. But it is kind of alarming in the sense that Jamer Candelario was brought over and he was going to be playing a lot of first base, but they played him at third base and Patrick Wisdom at first base, and Patrick Wisdom was the one that makes the errors, right? He had another one earlier where on a low throw from Candelario. Like, those are the kind of interesting plays that you think you look back on, and that's really ultimately the difference of winning and losing, specifically in this game, and that's what the Cubs had hoped would be the difference in winning and losing over the course of a full season.
Yeah, and it was tough. I mean, obviously, you know, the Patrick Wisdom moment right there before the home run is tough, but even in the ninth inning, I mean, you still felt like there were, you know, an instance or two to kind of get a run on the board, especially the, you know, Nico Hoerner trying to stretch that one out into a double. I mean, it was a tough play, but I feel like Nico gets there. I don't think that was a bad play by Nico to try to get to second.
Yeah, I don't think it was a bad play either. And like, if you look back on it, that right fielder had to make a perfect play and a perfect throw, right? It's kind of up against the wall. You take your chances with Nico Hoerner, probably your fastest guy on the team.
Like, right.
You take your chances in getting that, like, it was a perfect throw and a perfect play. Like, again, that's kind of how the things broke for the Cubs today, where it's like everything was kind of going against them. And that throw specifically kind of epitomized it, right? Where it's like, you finally get something going and you have an opportunity to make it even better, and Kansas City somehow makes the perfect play to kind of beat you. Like, that's kind of how things are going. And then it kind of ends on a check swing where Cody Bellinger, I think he ultimately went, but it's kind of a tough way to lose too, where it's like you've got your best hitter at the plate and he kind of goes down on a check swing where you basically take it out of his hands.
Yeah, that one kind of was tough. Just the whole inning was just odd. The ninth inning, you know, there comes those moments in certain games where you feel like, yeah, they're just not going to score here because they look deflated, they look defeated,
right?
And that seemed to be the case today for whatever reason. But hopefully the Cubs can bounce back and you know have a tough one tomorrow. We're talking to Andy Martinez from the Marquee Sports Network here on 670 The Score. It's Gabe Ramirez. When you look at this Cubs team and you see Jameson Taillon, do you find him to be the pitcher that will be emotionally attached to this game moving forward? I mean, obviously, you know, you look at Taillon, right? Didn't necessarily perform the best in the beginning of the season. He's had a great run now, but you wonder, like, does he have the mental capability to stay on a high despite some underwhelming starts?
Yeah, I mean, I think he is, and I think he's kind of the guy that, and if you look at, he really, really struggled in the first half leading up until that last start before the All-Star break against New York, where he had one hit through eight innings. I know he went eight innings. I can't remember if it was just one hit, but he dominated the Yankees lineup. Before that outing, it was really, really a struggle of a season for him. And he had to have like one or two innings where you're like, that's why they signed him. That's why you have him on the roster. Like, you had those moments, but it was never a full five, six, seven inning performance, right? And over these last few outings, he's kind of turned into that, right? Where he has these outings. Today he pitched pretty darn good game. The defensive miscues didn't help, and obviously the home run he'd probably want to have back. But I really think he's every time we've talked to him, every time I've spoken to him, he kind of seems like he looks at the positives of every game, and he looks at the negatives that he needs to work on, and then he like takes those notes and takes it into his session between starts. And I think that's what the Cubs really liked about him. He's very cerebral in his work, right? Where he knows how a pitch feels out of his hand, and he knows how emotion feels. Like, he's very in tune with what he does. That I think it's not a concern. Like, if he has a great outing or if he has a bad outing, I don't think it's one that you worry he might ride one way or the other. Like, I think he'll just do the same thing and repeat that process. And I think that's, again, ultimately what the Cubs loved when they signed him in the offseason.
Yeah, and I think that he's welcoming that challenge, Andy. I think he wants to be that dude. So that's why I'm kind of like, man, I wish he could have just got a win in one of these last two starts, because they were good performances, good outings, and he wanted to just like build on that confidence and have it continue to snowball, especially with, you know, Marcus Stroman, you know, being out and the timetable being one that's still up in the air. How shocked were you when you heard the news about Stroman's ribcage?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was just as shocked as he was and as the Cubs were, right? Where it was, everything came out on Thursday. He pitched his bullpen. It seemed like he was in line to start Wednesday's outing, and no problem against the White Sox. He was back, and the Cubs were getting a big rotation piece back for the final stretch over these last 6 weeks or so. And then it comes out that there's this rib injury, and he wasn't sure how it happened. The Cubs aren't sure how it happened. He talked today for the first time since the injury happened, and he mentioned that he went through his bullpen session and he felt fine. And then afterwards, while he was cooling down, at his post recovery work that you usually do during bullpen, it was some pain in his diaphragm, which he's like Taillon in the sense he's very, even more so than Taillon, he's very in tune with his body. He kind of, I think if he pointed out like a specific spot in his leg, he could tell you how that feels and then know the name of it. But he's like, my diaphragm like hurt when I was breathing. And at the Cubs doctors, trainers, everyone, they weren't really sure what it was, right? Like, is it appendicitis? Is it his gallbladder? Like, is it something, what is it? Like, there's nothing that they had seen like it. And it came out that it was this right rib cartilage fracture. And I have to say it slowly because I forget it every time. I've got to make sure I have it right. But he went through it and he has this injury, and there is no timetable. It's not something you don't see this in pitcher. It's not like, it's not forearm tightness. It's not shoulder inflammation. It's not something that like you're accustomed to with a pitcher. So it's a little alarming that you don't know. And the reality of it is like with him missing time, right? Like every time, the longer he stays out, that just adds more in the recovery, right? He's already missed 15 days. If you miss another week or two, like, that's adding on into the recovery as you try to build back up. That's what we're seeing with Brad Boxberger or Nick Birdy, some of these relievers that are on the IL, on the 60-day IL and recovering. And you're at the point where you're kind of running out of time to be able to make that full recovery.
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, there has to be that start in between that down in AAA because it's just been too long. But I got to be honest, man. One of my degrees, my first one's in economics, my second one's in behavioral communication, right? None of them are radio. But I always tell people, I say, like, oh man, how'd you get where you're at? I've been 15 years in the game. And I said, honestly, my behavioral communication degree, I feel like, has helped me more than anything else in life because I feel like I'm able to read people well. I know when to change conversations, et cetera, et cetera. The point being is that I'm constantly paying attention to people's nonverbals, right? And even though when you say something, Andy, like Marcus Stroman did during his press conference, even though there were actual words, right, like verbal, there is nonverbals in those words, right? And so as I'm paying attention to just his tone, his rate of speech, where the inflections are happening, and the moment he begins to get more defensive than we would have liked, it made me think that he had been dealing with something along the lines of discomfort in that space. And when he finally got the opportunity to get back out there and throw, maybe he was just going a little bit too hard, then he aggravated it to the point where he was like, damn, this isn't what that was. So this must be something different. Because when he gets so defensive, and like, bro, I don't know where it happened. I don't know. It's like, yeah, I know you don't know where it happened because you've probably been dealing with it. And the last thing you want to tell anybody, especially the press, is like, yeah, I've had this discomfort since the beginning of the season, but I've been playing through. It's been no big deal. And then I don't know. I just had a moment. Like, my birthday was the other day, and I turned a year older, and all of a sudden I threw a pitch, and it really aggravated it. Again, that is Gabe Ramirez coming to this conclusion based off nothing other than his foolishness and that he thinks he understands behavioral communication well. But it's still there because the question remains, like, there's so many questions surrounding the injury. You have to think of how or why. And you're like, wait, some bullpen session just automatically, like, gave you some rib discomfort? And then obviously, like, is that possible? Yes. But what's more likely in my brain? And it is that you've probably been dealing with it for some time because you saw how adamant he was about wanting to come back. I had my ACL. I came back in 5 months. I'm a gamer. This is what I do. And that only leads me to believe more so, Andy, that, yeah, you're such a gamer that you probably were dealing with a level of discomfort before this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's totally fair. And you think about, so in the first half of the season, right, he was, up until the London series, he was arguably the best pitcher in the National League, in conversation to be a starter for the National League All-Star team. He was an All-Star. Like, he was everything that the Cubs would have wanted to when they signed him, and more, right? Like, he was at that level. And then in the London series, if you remember, he had a tough outing. It was that second game they lose to the Cardinals. There's the Trey Mancini era first, and I think he went maybe like 3 1/3, maybe 4 1/3. I can't remember. It was a short outing by his standards, especially. And he exited with a blister. Like, I can't remember if it was on his throwing hand. He had a blister. And I love blisters because to you or I, it's like, oh, it's just a little blister, right? You peel it off and you're good to go. But on a pitcher, that's like so everything's so repetitive motion, and you're putting pressure on a certain point in your finger, et cetera, et cetera. Like, that's a huge deal. Like, that's equivalent to like something really, really big for like a runner or something like that, right? So you think about that, and the blister might have healed, right? Because he made his next start 5 days later with the travel from London and everything, but there might have been some underlying issue, right? Like, where now he's maybe compensating to try and make up for that, right? Like, maybe he's not putting as much pressure, so his sinker isn't biting as much, or his slider isn't sliding as much. So, like, now you're trying to do a little bit different, and that's what he admitted to that he was doing, right? Where he was compensating for his hip injury, which that hip injury, again, to your point, could have led from that blister. We don't know that for a fact. He has not said that for a fact. So, again, that's pure speculation, but it's definitely a possibility. And then you think about that, like, yeah, if your hip starts hurting, maybe, yeah, something starts leading into your core section that could come from it. So, yeah, I don't think it's this crazy theory that you've come up with. I think that's definitely in the realm of possibilities, especially since just frankly, no one knows how exactly it happened or it could have happened.
It was supposed to be pitching Wednesday. Everyone was so excited that he was coming back. It's like, it's a joke. But again, the good news is this. The Cubs, before I let you go, Andy, and this is what I wanted to talk to you about from the beginning, you know, regardless of where Stroman is at in his rehab and how long it'll be before he comes back, more than likely he will be back before the end of the season. And the Cubs have a favorable schedule as August comes to a conclusion. And Milwaukee, on the other hand, has the gauntlet that the Cubs essentially went through at the beginning of the month. Where do you see the Cubs, or no, better question, do you see the Cubs gaining ground by the end of the month on the Milwaukee Brewers?
Yeah, I definitely do, especially just like we had talked about, and like you mentioned, the schedule really is. I was looking at the score just before I hopped on with you. The Brewers are playing the Rangers right now, and the Rangers, like that's a team I you don't want to be facing right now because they're being chased down by Houston. They just got back from L.A., so that was a long play too, where they lost 1-0 on an eighth inning home run from Kike Hernandez last night. So it's like, It's a tough stretch for the Brewers. That if you're a Cub fan, this is where you're hoping that they can make that leap in the standings and really get back in there. And then, oh, by the way, a week from Monday, the Brewers come into town for a big series. That could also be a pivotal moment for them in this division race. I think these next 2 weeks are really, really big for what September could hold for both teams.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be great baseball to watch. And hopefully the Cubs can begin that rebound tomorrow against the Kansas City Royals. Andy Martinez, a pleasure as always, my brother. Can't wait to talk to you again.
Yeah, good talking to you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Andy Martinez, Marquee Network. Make sure you guys follow him, amartinez_11 on Twitter. Just a super intelligent guy, has great articles, and knows the organization, not just on a surface level. He can go, you know, all three levels of the minors, tell you who's on deck, just the whole thing. Just a great follow. Love having him on the show. Andy Martinez hanging out with us here on 670. Tyler, do me a favor. Open up the lines again. You know, we got some people texting in. You know, are you taking calls for the Cubs? Absolutely. Of course we are. Listen, there is a level. You can try to deny it, but there is a level of frustration amongst Cubs fans. Zero, like, no doubt about it. No Cub fan just lost, split with the Sox, lost the first to the Royals, and is like, bro, everything's all good. I am not sweating in the least bit. No, there's little wet spots underneath your armpits because you're hiding it. Are you frustrated, Tyler? Baby T?
I am a little frustrated.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take some phone calls. And then we're going to play some of that Marcus Stroman audio on the other side as well. All right. So what's your level of frustration with the Cubs? What do you think was the big issue today? And do you think the Cubs are going to gain ground by the end of the month? 312-644-6767. More Cubs conversation on the other side. I'm Gabe Ramirez, and this is 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Going to be talking to James Boyd at the top of the hour. Some Bears-Colts coverage. He covers the Colts for the Athletic, so we get a chance to talk to him. He's also from Chicagoland area, from Romeoville. So we'll get his thoughts, and that'll happen again at the top of the hour. But right now, just circling back on some Cubs stuff. Going to be playing some Marcus Stroman audio in a second. But some text messages are coming in. I asked, you know, about the level of frustration from Cubs fans and, you know, do you think there'll be movement by the end of the month? Tyler Farengal, producing today, said he's a little frustrated, and I think that's fair. 815 texted in, say, nah, dude, Cubs are fine. What does fine mean? Like, fine, Cubs are fine, they're going to make it to the playoffs? Cubs are fine, they're going to win the division? Or Cubs are fine, like, everything's going to be okay? 815, text that in for me. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Ray out in Orland Park. So, Ray, are you nervous about the Cubs or nah?
Nah, Gabe, I'm fine. Thanks for taking my call. I'm exactly the fan that you described that you said doesn't exist. I don't have a drop of sweat on me. I am not nervous at all. And here's why. This is baseball. This isn't college football. You lose two games and you think about firing the head coach. This is baseball. It's a marathon. They have a lot of games left to play. They're within striking distance. The Brewers lost last night against the Dodgers, who are an awesome team, and things will even itself out. I bet they win this series against KC. I bet they win this series against Detroit, and they gain that game. They gain that maybe two games. The Reds haven't really taken off either. Now, yes, are there injuries? Sure. But Stroman wasn't pitching well anyway, and they still won eight games when he was sucking it up. So I'm just not nervous. And quite frankly, even if they don't make the playoffs and they win with the winning record and we're down to the wire, will I be disappointed? Sure. But this team has outperformed itself already, and the future looks bright, so not worried at all.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I love that. That's great. Thanks for the call, Ray. I appreciate it. That's some optimism that we really want right there. That's some optimism. Because I'll tell you something. If the roles were reversed and this was the White Sox playing, and the Twins, let's say, were about to lose four straight games, it doesn't even matter to who it's from. They lost four straight games, and the White Sox were playing two bottom feeders. And they couldn't gain games during that time. Because you've missed an opportunity to gain two games against the Milwaukee Brewers. Against two of the worst teams in the worst division in baseball. So that's the only part where I would be able to sympathize with the frustration. Because I, too, would be frustrated if the team in front of me had lost four straight. And somehow, some way, I wasn't able to gain any ground. But I get it. It's baseball. Just like he said, this is actually baseball, and you can go on a 10-game winning streak. It's just not likely. It just doesn't happen like that. So you got to win your series, and you hopefully got to take advantage of the tough schedule for the Milwaukee Brewers, and not bank on a sweep. Because that would be the worst thing possible. I remember years like that for the White Sox, and they used to suck. One, because they never came through, but it's like you're facing the Twins in the last 2 weeks of the season, or Cleveland, or whatever it is, and you're coming up with this ridiculous scenario. Like, oh, if we just sweep the Twins and then the Guardians, we're making it. It's like, it's baseball. You're bound to lose a game. Like, you don't have to. The same pitcher that comes out every day. You don't have the same lineup that comes out every day. Anyway, frustrating to say the least. But Cubs will continue to play on. Big game tomorrow, of course, against Kansas City. That game right here on 670. The Score, first pitch, 1:20 p.m. Pre-game begins right at 12:45. So make sure you guys are here for that. It's going to be a good one. You just wish you had Marcus Stroman to just like stop the bleeding. I think for me, that's the important part, right? Marcus Stroman could come in and you'd say to yourself, oh, this is great. You do have Justin Steele that can do the exact same thing, but you would love Justin Steele to be pitching on Saturday and then a Stroman on Sunday to lock it in. All right. Let's take another call. Let's go to Scott out in Chicago. Scott, what side of town are you on? We're all from Chicago.
Yeah, I'm from Chicago.
What side of town? What side of town, buddy? I like to know these things.
North side of town.
Okay. See, it puts things in perspective. All right, so who do you think's to blame for this kind of whatever's going on right now?
I think David Ross is. I think he's a poor manager, and I think he's the only manager and coach in the league that doesn't know that Ian Happ can't hit left-handed pitching. We got a left-handed starter starting today, and where does he bat him? Third. He literally is the only coach and manager in the league that doesn't know that Ian Happ does not hit left-handers very well. But he bats him in one of the most important spots.
Hold on, Scott, because I am a big proponent of solutions, not problems. So tell me what the solution looks like. Benching him, putting him seventh, and then who do you put in that three hole, and how do you move that around? How do you move that lineup around?
I would have moved him. I mean, he is a good left fielder, and overall I do like Ian Happ, even though I know he's gotten a lot of grief lately. I would have batted him seventh or eighth, and I would have put Suzuki in the third hole. Okay. Suzuki hits left-handers much better, and you're paying him a lot of money to hit left-handers, yeah. right? I mean, that was part of the reason why we got him. So
I love
him do his job.
That was a great answer, Scott. I mean, I if you call the station to talk to me specifically, like, we cannot have conversations like Patrick Wisdom sucks, Ian Happ sucks, right? David Ross sucks. Like, we need solutions. David Ross sucks, and that right there was probably like the best call and solution I've gotten regarding this entire Cubs season. Like, hey, you know what? Here's the answer. Drop Happ to seventh and swap him out with Seiya Suzuki. I love it. Seiya's been playing well since he had his little baby demotion, and he has been hitting well. You know what? I like it.
That's been the only move that I think hasn't happened. I feel like everyone in the lineup has dropped it yeah. at some point except for Happ.
Except for Happ. Oh, man. Tough. But you know what? Again, you have to give Rossi some grace because you saw what he did last year with little talent. And he's still a young manager, right? Older dude, but young manager. And now he's getting his first season, one where he is expected to be competitive. He has a roster that is full of talent. And so whereas he was trying to make something out of nothing last year, he is just trying to figure out the best group of guys to put out there. And so clearly he's felt confident in Happ, but I love the solution, Seiya, at least against the lefty. That's what Scott was saying. At least against the lefty. So good stuff right there. I will talk more baseball in the 8 o'clock hour. But coming up next, we get to talk to James Boyd from The Athletic. He covers the Indianapolis Colts. What did he think of the joint practices between the Bears and the Colts? And is his allegiance still with the Bears? Because he's a Romeoville guy. We talk to James Boyd next. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Going to be talking to James Boyd at the top of the hour. Some Bears-Colts coverage. He is the... He covers the Colts for the Athletic, so we get a chance to talk to him. He's also from Chicagoland area, from Romeoville. So we'll get his thoughts, and that'll happen again at the top of the hour. But right now, just circling back on some Cubs stuff. Going to be playing some Marcus Stroman audio in a second. But some text messages are coming in. I asked, you know, about the level of frustration from Cubs fans, and, you know, do you think there'll be movement by the end of the month? Tyler Farengal, producing today, said he's little frustrated, and I think that's fair. 815 texted in, say, nah, dude, Cubs are fine. What does fine mean? Like, fine, Cubs are fine, they're going to make it to the playoffs. Cubs are fine, they're going to win the division. Or Cubs are fine, like, everything's going to be okay. 815, text that in for me. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Ray out in Orland Park. So, Ray, are you nervous about the Cubs or nah?
Nah, Gabe, I'm fine. Thanks for taking my call. I'm exactly the fan that you described that you said doesn't exist. I don't have a drop of sweat on me. I am not nervous at all. And here's why. This is baseball. This isn't college football where you lose two games and you think about firing the head coach. This is baseball. It's a marathon. They have a lot of games left to play. They're within striking distance. The Brewers lost last night against the Dodgers, who are an awesome team. And things will even itself out. I bet they win this series against KC. I bet they win this series against Detroit, and they gain that game. They gain that maybe two games. The Reds haven't really taken off either. Now, yes, are there injuries? Sure. But Stroman wasn't pitching well anyway, and they still won eight games when he was sucking it up. So I'm just not nervous. And quite frankly, even if they don't make the playoffs and they win with a winning record and we're down to the wire, will I be disappointed? Sure. But this team has outperformed itself already, and the future looks bright, so not worried at all.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I love that. That's great. Thanks for the call, Ray. I appreciate it. That's some optimism that we really want right there. That's some optimism. Because I'll tell you something. If the roles were reversed and this was the White Sox playing, and the Twins, let's say, were about to lose four straight games, it doesn't even matter who it's from. They lost four straight games, and the White Sox were playing two bottom feeders. And they couldn't gain games during that time. Because you've missed an opportunity to gain two games against the Milwaukee Brewers. Against two of the worst teams in the worst division in baseball. So that's the only part where I would be able to sympathize with the frustration. Because I, too, would be frustrated if the team in front of me had lost four straight. And somehow, some way, I wasn't able to gain any ground. But I mean, I get it. It's baseball. Just like he said, this is actually baseball, and you can't go on a. I mean, you can go on a 10-game winning streak. It's just not likely. It just doesn't happen like that. So you got to win your. You got to win your series, and you hopefully got to take advantage of the tough schedule for the Milwaukee Brewers. Not bank on a sweep. Because that would be the worst thing possible. I remember years like that for the White Sox, and they used to suck. One, because they never came through, but it's like you're facing the Twins in the last 2 weeks of the season, or Cleveland, or whatever it is, and you're coming up with this ridiculous scenario. Like, oh, if we just sweep the Twins and then the Guardians, we're making it. It's like, it's baseball. You're bound to lose a game. Like, you don't have to. The same pitcher that comes out every day. You don't have the same lineup that comes out every day. Anyway, frustrating to say the least. But Cubs will continue to play on. Big game tomorrow, of course, against Kansas City. That game right here on 670. The Score, first pitch, 1:20 p.m. Pre-game begins right at 12:45. It's So make sure you guys are here for that. It's going to be a good one. It's going to, I mean, gosh, you just wish you had Marcus Stroman to just like stop the bleeding. I think for me, that's the important part, right? Marcus Stroman could come in and you'd say to yourself, oh, this is great. You do have Justin Steele that can do the exact same thing, but you would love Justin Steele to be pitching on Saturday and then a Stroman on Sunday to lock it in. All right. Let's take another call. Let's go to Scott out in Chicago. Scott, what side of town are you on? We're all from Chicago.
Yeah, I'm from Chicago.
What side of town? What side of town, buddy? I like to know these things.
North side of town.
Okay. See, he puts things in perspective. All right, so who do you think's to blame for this kind of whatever's going on right now?
I think David Ross is. I think he's a poor manager, and I think he's the only manager and coach in the league that doesn't know that Ian Happ can't hit left-handed pitching. We got a left-handed starter starting today, and where is he batting? Third. He literally is the only coach and manager in the league that doesn't know that Ian Happ does not hit left-handers very well. But he bats him in one of the most important spots.
But what? Okay, wait, hold on, Scott, because I am a big proponent of solutions, not problems. So tell me what the solution looks like. Benching him, putting him seventh, and then who do you put in that three hole, and how do you move that around? How do you move that lineup around?
I would have moved him. I mean, he is a good left fielder, and overall, I do like Ian Happ, even though I know he's gotten a lot of grief lately. I would have batted him seventh or eighth, and I would have put Suzuki in the third hole. Okay. Suzuki hits left-handers much better, and you're paying him a lot of money to hit left-handers,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that was part of the reason why we got him. So
I
let
love
him
it.
Do his job.
That was a great answer, Scott. I mean, I if you call the station to talk to me specifically, like, we cannot have conversations like Patrick Wisdom sucks, Ian Happ sucks, right? David Ross sucks. Like, we need solutions. David Ross sucks. And that right there was probably like the best call and solution I've gotten regarding this entire Cubs season. Like, hey, you know what? Here's the answer. Drop Happ to seventh and swap him out with Seiya Suzuki. I love it. Seiya's been playing well since he had his little baby demotion, and he has been hitting well. You know what? I like it.
That's been the only move that I think hasn't happened. I feel like everyone in the lineup has dropped it at some point, except for Happ.
Except for Happ. Oh, man. Tough. But you know what? Again, you have to give Rossi some grace because you saw what he did last year with little talent. And he's still a young manager, right? Older dude, but young manager. And now he's getting his first season, one, where he is expected to be competitive. He has a roster that is full of talent. And so whereas he was trying to make something out of nothing last year, he is just trying to figure out the best group of guys to put out there. And so clearly he's felt confident in Happ, but I love the solution, Seiya, at least against the lefty. That's what Scott was saying, at least against the lefty. So good stuff right there. I will talk more baseball in the 8 o'clock hour, but coming up next, we get to talk to James Boyd from The Athletic. He covers the Indianapolis Colts. What did he think of the joint practices between the Bears and the Colts? And is his allegiance still with the Bears? Because he's a Romeoville guy. We talk to James Boyd next. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.